The auditorium fell silent as I shared my 5-year-old son's innocent yet devastating comment. On a flight, he had pointed to the only black passenger, saying, "That guy looks like Daddy," though the man looked nothing like my husband. Before I could respond, he added, "I hope that man doesn't rob the plane." When I asked why he thought that, his solemn reply broke my heart. "I don't know why I was thinking that." In that moment, a room full of stone-faced Oakland police officers softened. We connected not as researcher and law enforcement, but as parents confronting how racial stratification infiltrates even innocent minds. This is the power of implicit bias, the unconscious associations that shape our perceptions without our awareness or consent. These hidden prejudices influence everything from split-second police decisions to hiring practices, healthcare outcomes, and everyday social interactions. What makes bias so insidious is not just its impact, but its invisibility. Even to those who consciously reject discrimination, these unconscious patterns silently guide our judgments and behaviors, creating disparities that persist despite our best intentions. When my family moved from Cleveland's all-black Lee Harvard neighborhood to nearly all-white Beechwood, I couldn't distinguish between my white classmates. Their faces blended together. This common other race effect demonstrates how our brains efficiently process familiar faces while struggling with unfamiliar ones. This categorization isn't an aberration, but a fundamental brain function organizing overwhelming stimuli. Our minds constantly sort people into groups, and once we apply a category, our perception adjusts to match the label. White participants show less brain activity in face processing regions when viewing black faces than white faces, processing them categorically as if identical. Even preschoolers absorb these social evaluations. After watching videos where adults treated one person warmly and another coldly, 75% of children preferred the person receiving positive treatment, blaming the targets of bias rather than those expressing it. "I think it's fear," my 6-year-old son concluded after noticing shoppers creating an invisible force field around a black man in our grocery store. This childlike observation captures how bias operates in high-stakes situations like policing. In September 2016, Terrence Crutcher, an unarmed black man, was shot by police in Tulsa while walking with raised hands, one of many deaths that leave mothers fearing for their son's safety. Though over 99% of police encounters involve no force, black people are disproportionately stopped and more likely to experience force. Research reveals the cognitive mechanisms behind these disparities. Officers exposed to crime-related words unconsciously focus more on black faces. People perceive black men as larger and more threatening than identical-sized white men. In simulations, participants are quicker to shoot armed black individuals and more likely to mistakenly shoot unarmed ones. The repeated radio dispatches of male black creates an automatic association between blackness and criminality. One white officer described how this environment transformed him. Even off duty, he began scrutinizing every black man, with innocent gestures triggering scenarios of danger. On the eve of my Harvard PhD graduation, despite being selected to carry the graduate school flag, I experienced biased policing firsthand. Driving with a friend to her housing project, police stopped us without explanation. When I couldn't provide my mother's social security number for her car's expired registration, officers arrived, yanked me from the car, and body slammed me onto its roof before handcuffing me. Equipment-related traffic stops enable discretionary decisions that activate racial biases. Analysis of 18.5 million stops showed black drivers are twice as likely as white drivers to be stopped for equipment violations rather than moving violations, twice as likely to be searched, yet 26% less likely to possess contraband. This bias permeates the justice system. Black defendants face pretrial detention rates 4 times higher than whites with similar charges and pay 35% higher bail premiums. In death penalty cases, killers of white victims receive harsher sentences than those who kill black people. My research revealed that Black defendants convicted of killing white victims with more stereotypically Black features were twice as likely to receive death sentences, 57% versus 24%, even controlling for crime severity. Throughout history, science has been weaponized to justify racial hierarchies. Even after Darwin established humans as one species with African origins, scientists simply reframed their narrative. Whites became the most evolved, most intelligent humans. My colleagues and I discovered the Black Ape Association remains embedded in modern consciousness. Our studies showed subliminal exposure to ape images directed attention to Black faces. When primed with stereotypically Black names before viewing the invisible gorilla video, participants were 25% more likely to notice the gorilla. This dehumanization extends into law enforcement. LAPD officers' communications after the Rodney King beating referred to Black people as monkeys and used the code NHI, no humans involved. People primed with ape-related words were more likely to justify police brutality against Black victims. Most disturbing was how scientific colleagues readily accepted these findings, with many suggesting the association existed because Blacks actually look more like apes, revealing how deeply this dehumanization persists even among educated professionals. In today's digital age, bias finds new expression through technology. Neighborhood surveillance systems and social networks can distort danger perception and heighten suspicion. Nextdoor faced a crisis when its crime and safety category filled with posts labeling minorities as suspicious for ordinary activities. While technology prizes frictionless speed, this makes platforms vulnerable to bias. Nextdoor implemented a checklist requiring users to focus on specific behaviors rather than vague racial descriptions, reducing racial profiling by 75% without decreasing engagement. Similarly, Airbnb confronted evidence of racial disparities in bookings across all cities and property types. After a slow initial response, they implemented solutions, including a mandatory anti-discrimination commitment and promoting the instant book option that eliminated approval bias. These examples demonstrate how technology can both amplify existing biases and provide solutions if companies prioritize fairness over frictionless efficiency. Understanding bias is only the first step. The real challenge is keeping it in check. Speed and ambiguity trigger bias. Hiring managers who scan resumes for mere seconds resort to stereotypes, creating barriers for minorities. Bias thrives without monitoring. Baseball umpires showed racial bias in close calls, favoring same-race pitchers, but this disappeared in stadiums with playback cameras observing their decisions. Personal connections can override implicit bias. Tanisha, a Black nurse in a Jewish convalescent home, found that caring for vulnerable patients created bonds transcending racial differences. Even patients with dementia came to associate Blackness with competence rather than stereotypes. Diversity alone isn't a remedy, but creates opportunities for change. Diverse groups make better decisions, despite facing more discord as privilege shifts and new voices emerge. Success requires tolerating this discomfort while changing cultures that perpetuate bias. The journey toward addressing bias isn't about perfection. It's about awareness, commitment, and continuous improvement. By understanding how our minds create these invisible threads of prejudice, we can begin untangling them, creating spaces where everyone is seen as an individual rather than a category.